Good evening, Toronto, and how are we feeling on this lovely June night? Sitting by a barbecue, I hope, maybe with some lemonade in hand, or raspberry lemonade, or maybe beer. I hope you're ready to sit back and relax, because this is your weekly music therapy session. Hey, Toronto, this is your weekly music therapy session. I'm Renice McLeod, and with me in the studio is Jaws Jansen's in the studio with me from Wood Butcher. How you doing over here?
I'm doing all right. What's up?
It's going pretty well. Jaws joined us also on our debut show, so we're really happy to have him and Edgar Allan Poe back. Edgar Allan Poe, how are you doing?
Yep. I always got to bring my action figures. You know, I need my mascots.
Yeah, I kind of miss Jason, though.
Yeah, it's a bit of a pain to bike around town with a bunch of action figures, though. You know, I don't want to lose any of the pieces, man. If Jason loses his machete, what's the point? What is the point?
This is understandable, and there's a special reason, too, why you wanted to be extra careful, isn't there? We have Jaws performing live in the studio today. This is a first for us at Music Therapy. I'm pretty stoked, but we're going to have some acoustic tracks coming at you. But first, let's give you a taste of what these guys sound like. This is Goodbye, Jack. We're back. That little bit of eargasm that you were listening to right there was Wood Butcher's Goodbye, Jack. And I say eargasm because this was pretty sweet quality. This was a live track recorded by Glenmore Records.
Yeah. Live is it's relative. I wouldn't say like live on a stage, live off the floor. Most of us, we recorded all the tracks up at Glenmore Records in North York You know, we got the drums, the guitar, and the bass all at once, and then I went in and threw my vocals on afterwards. I like it. It's got a lot of that extra reverb on the vocals, you know, give it that rockabilly feel.
Or punkabilly, as it were.
Yeah, you know, like Tiger Army and all that jazz.
Definitely. And we're actually going to be hearing a little more from Wood Butcher, but this isn't going to be a live recording. This is going to be live in studio, which is super exciting for us. But for a second, I just want to talk about that track. Goodbye Jack was that was a really early track for you, wasn't it?
It's older than the band, actually. I know that this is Wood Butcher's version of it, and I've since altered the song musically. But generally, the chord progression and the lyrics, that goes all the way back to high school, when I was with Jack's Dead, with Adric Clough, Alex Verbray, and Jesse Toma on drums, shortly replaced by your sister, as you know, Rhiannon McLeod, yeah.
Yes, that is the unparalleled Rhiannon McLeod. Rye, I hope you're listening, because that was just a shout-out for you, planted in place. So
she is probably one of the greatest guitar players I've ever known, which is funny, because she was my drummer. So, but that was a great day, because that's when, I don't know if I told you the story on the first show, just that, you know, as soon as she came in to replace Jesse, playing for, like, you know, 20 minutes, and I'm like, hey, how... you're such a great drummer. How long have you been drumming for? And she's like, oh, 20 minutes. Oh, wow. I'm a fast learner. Seriously. True story.
So how do you feel that you've evolved as a musician since that meeting in high school and since the birth of Goodbye Jack?
So many changes have happened since then. Musically, just on my own songwriting, I finally was able to combine the writing style that I do. I've been able to combine all the music theory that I knew from my childhood piano lessons and all the self-taught nonsense and internet tabulature that I've picked up for guitar playing. And for the longest time, I didn't really know what I was doing in guitar until I just sort of sat down, studied all the notes, and was like, all right, I have to get serious here. You know, I've been writing throughout college, and I teamed up with Steve Wharton once he moved back into Toronto, because he's also a Sudbury boy like me, and he helped out a lot. We worked on a musical together, and through that whole experience now, we're a new kind of music-writing animal.
A music-making machine.
Yeah.
So would you say it's a combination of music theory and music therapy?
Definitely. I mean... With Steve and I, especially like with the, we tend to write a lot of the music together, and what we do is, I have a really good mind and ear for what sounds good, what's, for lack of a better term, catchy, you know.
Instincts.
Yeah, just to know this is going to work. People are going to want to listen to this, and then Steve has the ability to go, wow, musically this is complicated and ridiculous, and every musician out there will respect what we're doing, and so. The whole thing with Wood Butcher is trying to combine those two elements together on having people go, yeah, you know, that sounds good, and I want it on my iPod. And at the same time, they're going, oh, you know, I don't want to hear people say, oh, I've heard this before. This is the same. It's just the same as some other band. I mean, I was just listening to Lady Gaga's new track, Judas, and I know it's catchy and fun, but it sounds just like Bad Romance and a few of her other ones. What's the point, you know?
Fair enough, but I don't know. I find Lady Gaga's music a lot, along with a lot of pop, is a bit like a meringue. It's really sweet and catchy and poppy and tasty on the outside, but inside there's nothing really there. But that could just be me.
I thought she had more potential than Judas, but sadly, yeah, Judas was sort of an example of how far she's not going to go, I think, musically. Because she was doing so much better than all the other pop stars. You know, Kesha's already proven herself to be quite useless, so... And then now Lady Gaga's just disappointing me as well.
That's unfortunate. I actually heard you do a pretty hardcore version of... what was it? That was...
Poker Face?
Poker Face at karaoke. Will you be having any more of those mashups in your live show?
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. You've been to my shows, but the audience hasn't been to my shows, so they don't know what I cover already. And I mean, that's a great. It shows you what I like to do with music. You know, I'm live. We cover. I'm so excited by the Pointer Sisters, and we make it so punk. And it's hilarious. It's this super poppy song from the 80s, and when you hear it, you just know, you know what it is. You may not know who it's by, but you're like, oh, I know, I'm so excited. I just can't hide it, blah, blah, blah. And we also take Closer from Nine Inch Nails, and we drop that down to rockabilly, and we make it really psychotic, make it sound like the Cramps. It's just so much fun. So I think aside from some, we're going to do some other like straight-laced covers with maybe some Kings of Leon stuff, but I'm going to eventually get right back in and maybe cover like a Lady Gaga song and just turn it right on its head, you know, really, really challenge the listeners.
All right, well, just to give you a little bit of taste of what these guys can do live, I'll give you a little bit of a back-to-back. I actually have the Pointer Sisters, I'm so excited, lined up, and we're going to be pairing that up with Toronto's The Creep Show, Rue Morgue Radio. So that's a back-to-back for you. First up, we've got Pointer Sisters. You're listening live on Centennial Internet. This is Music Therapy.
Yeah.
This is your weekly music therapy session. I'm Renisa McLeod, coming to you live and unscripted. With me today is Wood Butcher's Jaws Jansons. How are you doing over here?
Still doing pretty good.
Awesome. So what we gave you right there is just a little bit of a hint of what we can get live at a Wood Butcher show. That was the creep show that you were just listening to with Rue Morgue Radio, a little nod to the Toronto horror magazine that I am a fan of. And before that was the Pointer Sisters. I'm so excited. So mash the two together and make it a little more complex, perhaps. And sort you might of. Have the Wood Butcher.
You might, yeah.
Experience.
Wood Butcher. You can't, yeah. What we're trying to achieve with Wood Butcher is very hard to pin down. You know, I mean, just the other day, me and Johnny Wood, our guitar player, not a stage name, we were just talking about how all of our songs tend to be a bit different. You know, we're not stuck in any sort of paradigm. You know, kind of like Marcy Playground, is that every song, you know, it's Marcy Playground, but they're all written a little differently. You know, we don't, you know, as like, you know, the Ramones, they always write the song, all their songs with the same rhythm, you know, for the lack of a better description. But for us, you know, when I sit down and hit my guitar, I don't just look for the sweet, you know, rockabilly licks or the tight punk rhythms. I just go with what's going to work. And then I holler a bunch and call it music.
Yeah, and initially the experience for you guys, what we were saying before, it was a good kind of yin and yang of technique and instinct, technique on Steve's end, instinct on yours. Initially, it was just you and Steve to start off, right?
Yeah, we would joke and call ourselves the Steve and Jaws Show, but eventually we kind of honed in on a name, the Steven and the Shark. So some ideas for earlier band names, but now we sort of decided that's our production company. For when we're working on musicals and other such different sort of, you know, when our projects aren't just Wood Butcher. Because Wood Butcher is its own animal, because now we've brought in other people. Johnny Wood is a great guitar player, very bluesy, and just, like, loves what we're working on. I don't know, he seems to be a big fan, which helps, you know. And then we had Melissa, and she was great. She was young and full of energy, but, you know, sadly, you know, we found that we wanted something different out of the band in the end, you know, just like where we were headed. So now we've parted ways, and now Wood Butcher is without a bass player.
So that's your cue, guys. Get on that. We're looking for bass players for Wood Butcher here to be part of an awesome kind of but not quite punkabilly experience that is this band. So how can they get a hold of you?
If you want, you could always check out our MySpace, Wood Butcher Music. You know, myspace.com/woodbuttermusic.
That's one word, WOODBUTCHERMUSIC.
Thank you. And it's the same as our email, woodbuttermusic@gmail.com, all one word. It was great because, you know, Melissa was able to give us, like, one big fantastic show at the end. We opened for Buddy Black. He's a great kind of just fast, fun rock and roll band. So much fun working with them. What can I say? It was a great show we did at the Bovine Sex Club was the last one. I should be pumping new shows, but until we have that bass player, I don't want to confirm anything. Actually, Buddy Black almost, the frontman, he almost became our rhythm guitar player. But sadly, Buddy Black is actually doing well, so that means that he, you know, doesn't have as much time to, like, spread yourself out. I mean, you know, you gotta hone in on your craft, you know, and that's good for him, man. He's rocking and a rolling, but I'm actually looking for, yeah, not just bass players, but rhythm guitar players too. I want to expand the sound a bit. I'm one of those front men who I don't really want to get stuck behind the guitar. I want to run around. I want to dance. I want to have fun. And actually, I've had a few people, including Buddy Black. He came up to me and he was like, "I'm a little jealous." He kind of likes the fact that I can run around. He thinks that's cool. And, I mean, whatever happened to that? Why are so many guitar players like Kings of Leon, like, get out behind your guitar. Dance like a lunatic. You know, what's his name from The Killers? He does that. Mr. Flowers there, yeah.
Brandon Flowers, right. And he was another fronter guitarist, isn't he?
No. He's a keyboard player. He does that, like, kind of. But, you know, he's a strong influence in the band, I think, for The Killers. Because you can see how creative he is. He's got his own side project now. And, you know, but what I'm saying is that he could stay behind the keyboard the whole time. He could really wank off with an instrument. But he sings. On stage, he walks around with the mic and, you know, gets the audience into it. That's the thing to do, you know. I mean, I don't want to criticize all the guitar player singers, but, you know, I think there's a point where the musicians kind of get snobby at each other, and they go like, "What, you don't play as well as sing? What's with that? Come on, you know, why can't you do 7 things at the same time?"
Yeah, but I think we can safely say that you're quite capable of doing 7 things at a time, what with your side projects yourself. But for now, the big focus is Wood Butcher, right?
Yeah, I do have a tendency to take way too much onto my plate. I keep mentioning that musical, Everybody Dies, that I'm working on. Yeah, but right now, it's pretty much sticking with Wood Butcher, just getting that off the ground.
All right, well, we're going to give you Wood Butcher in just a minute. We'll let Jaws kind of saddle up here for another live performance.
I just realized I'm sitting here alone in this room, and, you know, I wish that there were more of my band members. Now, I'm not going to criticize Johnny Wood here on not being here, because that man is busy. He's got school, he's got work, he's got his lovely, patient girlfriend that he has to spend a lot of time with to, you know, because, like, I don't know, I take up so much of his time, I'm surprised that they ever get to go out on dates anymore. But Mr. Stephen Wharton is not here tonight, and he was going to. Now, what bloody hockey game is going on tonight that he can't be here for this? What do you know who's playing who?
No, is he talking about the NHL game or a game he's actually playing?
Oh my God, see, this is awesome. This shows you how separated the sports world can be from the music world. Now, Steven's huge into hockey. Whenever there's a game on, if he's at practice, he's checking his cell phone every friggin' minute, every chance he gets. He's like, "What's the score?" You know, I hear him miss a beat because he's got his cell phone in his left hand. Like, gosh darn kid, you know?
Well, the fact that he can check his cell phone and still at the same time is a little impressive.
A little impressive.
A little bit. But, no, there's definitely a very, very vacant chair over to my right that should be occupied, but is not because of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I'm calling you out, Stephen Wharton. Calling you out. Oh, but the Jets are coming back. Or at least Winnipeg's getting a hockey team, so there's some sports stuff for you if you're into that. But if you're listening to this, you're probably more into music anyway. So forget that.
Well, let's get a little more music. Let's get a little more music going to get another little taste of Wood Butcher. Are you ready to give me a little bit of a solo performance on your guitar?
Oh, what, right now?
Right now.
Oh, right now. Holy monkey. All right. I was wondering what songs I could play for you guys tonight. You know, I'm probably going to avoid covers. What's the point? You know? So I was thinking maybe just Buddy Holly's last song. Now, it's not actually Buddy Holly's last song, but the song that I wrote called Buddy Holly's Last Song. And it's a weird little song that I wrote, and I like it. It's fun. I actually wrote it, some of the lyrics while I was at the Hard Rock Cafe working in the retail shop, with bouncing the ideas off my coworkers, and they were just thinking, "Why aren't you doing your job?" And I'm thinking, that's not a good rhyme. totally missing the point there. So,
I think so. They need to kind of, like, get on that.
Come on, guys. Yes, I'm being paid to be here, but music ain't going to write itself, yo.
No, it's true.
All right, so let's rock a boogie. Let's see what I can pull together here.
All right, so we're coming to you live. This is Jaws doing a little acoustic song for us from Wood Butcher. This is Buddy Holly's last song on Music Therapy.
We met about a year ago, the time of year when things get slow. Just one thing that I needed to know was a name right off the get-go. Yeah, oh yeah, that'll be the day. Oh yeah, when I get my way. Make her mine, yeah, make her mine, I'll make her mine. Pretty sweet and very neat, had me hanging on the edge of my seat, fantasized about rubbing her feet, making love to that Rob Zombie beat. Oh, oh yeah, it was hard, you know, at first. I was clumsy for her flesh at first. Pretty
interjection is always the worst. This stupid feeling I thought I'd burst. And one day I learned a name. I knew things would not be the same, but oh, how could they be? Now that I'm in love with Jenny Lee. Jenny Lee, oh, Jenny Lee. I looked into her big green eyes and I promised her I'd never lie. And of course, to my surprise, she said I'm nothing like the other guys. Ah! Oh, yeah, that was the day. Oh, oh, yeah, oh, well, I got my way. Made her mine, I made her mine, I made her mine. Woo! Oh, I met a man you don't even know. Oh my God, now we go out on dates all the night, all the time. I don't even know what that word was. That's alright. When I got to meet her parents, that was super cool. Oh my God, her mom made me love. It was awesome. Made her mine. Made her mine. Made her mine.
Thank you, Jaws. That was coming to you live. This is a very big moment for us here at Music Therapy. That was our first ever, ever live performance in the studio, delivered to you by Jaws Jansons of Wood Butcher. Thank you, sir. That was fantastic.
It wouldn't have been complete without all those awesome flaws and mistakes. You know what? There's some proof that these kinds of acoustic recordings can be actually live. I hate it when they do, like, pre-recorded crap. You know, like on live TV or something. Forget that, you know? Live. Let's see the mistakes. Let's hear it. Because I hope you enjoy it. For those of you that don't know the original version, or like the live, or the full band version, you probably didn't recognize the errors, but that's okay.
That's okay. Just pretend it didn't happen.
That was awesome and sweet, though. I love it.
Well, we really appreciate you coming and playing live. That was fantastic.
I had fun.
So, tell me a bit about your process. How do you, aside from, you know, during downtimes at the Hard Rock Cafe, how do you create? How do you write?
Generally, the major thing that I do is I write the lyrics separately from the music. Normally. I don't normally have a riff that I'm listening to and I have to decide, you know what? This lyric's going to fit in here, that kind of stuff. Yeah, generally I sit down and I approach my lyrics normally like poetry. As they come, I get inspiration, I sit down, and it just all just comes out, sit down, pen to paper. And then I pick up the guitar and I start to play around with riffs. Every once in a while, I pick up lyrics that I just know, I know that I need a new, fresh riff for. And I'll sit down and try and hammer something out. But I find my most successful songs in general are when I record my riff onto the computer so I can freely sing it without feeling constrained or focusing on the guitar playing. Because a fresh riff, you know, takes a lot of concentration and energy to get it down right. And at the same time, I'm focusing on the guitar, whether or not it works, whether or not I need to change something. So recording it allows me to kind of shed those extra things that are getting in the way and then just focus on how I'm going to approach the song vocally. Now, everything's a process with me. Nothing is ever set. I hate people who write a script or something and then the first draft is the only draft for them. That's garbage. You know, people edit. You have to edit things to make it right. So from there, I take it as the sort of the baby, you know, it is not nowhere near completion, but it is like at its egg stage. It just needs to be coddled and warmed and hatched, and then the song can fully fledge. So I'll take the chord progression and the funny little riffs that I've written and my lyrics, present them to the band, and once Steve gets a good feel for how my the rhythm of the song will go, he hits me with a beat. And then from there, John takes it, and if he finds something that if he can add something more to the guitar part to make it more dynamic or more interesting, we'll throw it out there.
So would you say that you're pretty much the driving force of Wood Butcher, you and Steve?
More or less. If you want to talk about driving force, generally, I'm the most enthusiastic. I'm kicking everyone in the pants to get people going. But for everyone else on their own part, they do their thing independently of me. But that's not to say that there aren't some new songs that we all work on together. For every song and for every, like, even just like recently, I wrote a song. I wrote the progression and the lyrics, but John came up with some great ideas for the structure to make it more dynamic, to add some new things to make it fresher, more fun. And he also, like I said, he changed some of the guitar parts. I was telling him, oh, I want a verse that's like really low with almost no guitar in it. And he pitched at me some different ideas that I found were better suited for it. So even though I go home and I kind of like get the initial outline ready, but then I need the rest of the band to flesh out the song. Without the other guys, you know, I wouldn't come into full fruition. You know, I'm no drummer, so I can't plug in the drum beats, and I'm not the world's greatest guitar player, as you might have heard. So yeah, no, that's how I work. You know, I start with something that needs to grow and work up from there. But
have you been working on many new stuff now that you're minus a bass player?
Honestly, working on new stuff has nothing to do with the bass player. You know, when Melissa was with us, we were working on songs together. And now that she's doing her own thing, there's still songs happening. But if your question is really, are there new things that they could expect since the last show? For sure. We've already been working on at least two new songs and hopefully a Kings of Leon cover, as I've hinted at tonight. So
cool.
That's three new songs that people can expect from us. And
the process, you're not so much on hold per se.
Oh, you know what I call
at
it?
At least songwriting wise.
No, there's no hold. I'd call this a delay for the band just because we're not doing shows. We're going to be recording an EP this summer with Glenmore Records, and I'd prefer to do it with a new bass player. Get them in there, show them what the new person's going to sound like. Otherwise, I'm going to go hit the studio, and it's going to be either me or Steve on the bass, and that'll sound wicked, I'm sure, because Steve's quite the talented musician. You know, but it'll be a different feel as opposed to having a new member in the band and what they might bring to the table. So what are we going to hear out of this EP? I honestly can't tell you. That's why I'm sort of delaying the whole process because, I want to make this band feel whole again and move forward.
So how did your relationship with Glenmore Records begin? The live version that we played, Goodbye Jack, was also done with Glenmore Records. So how did you guys get the ball rolling on that?
I believe that with Glenmore Records, I think it was an ad on Craigslist. I think that was the hookup. Either way, once we got rigged up with the first show, that he let us know what the score was. You know, we had our tickets and everything. He recorded this demo for us to kind of get the show off the ground. And I got to know, I think it's Scott of Glenmore Records. Scott Dion. And then once I knew what Glenmore Records is really about and that it's not just these few shows, but you know, he's in his own band, Symphony of Nine, which is really sweet. I was able to MC Symphony of Nine's last show, or at least one of the recent shows. And then I was like, on hearing this demo that he recorded for us, it wasn't really a demo; it was actually just the live song. So this is excellent. I definitely want to go back in there and do some more tracks with him. It's just amazing how quickly that guy can work. So I'm curious to see what it's going to sound like with more time and energy spent. Because, man, that what you heard, Goodbye Jack, that was recorded in a morning. You know, we just went in there, we slapped those tracks down, you know, Ramon style. Went in, 1, 2, 3, rock and roll, and then the door.
Cool. Well, we're going to take a quick music break if that's cool with you. So doing the little bit of old and new, I'm going to hit you guys up with an oldie and very goodie, if you'll pardon the pun.
This one's a tight one. I just got to say, this name gets mentioned almost every wood butcher practice. I am always hounding my guitar player. Especially, you know what? You guys have to hear the live version of Buddy Holly's last song at some point, because I just tell him, More Chuck Berry. I want more Chuck Berry. And whatever you do, more Chuck Berry. And this is the song that explains why.
This is Johnny B. Good.
Learned to read or write.
And we're back. This is your weekly music therapy session coming to you live and unscripted from Centennial College's Creative Communications Campus. I'm Renice McLeod, and guest hosting with me tonight is Jaws Jansons of Wood Butcher.
Blah, blah.
What we were just listening to was, the first song was Chuck Berry, Johnny Be Good.
So
I think
solid.
It's the kind of the soul of a lot of music these days.
Well, we all know how it goes. You know, all those fancy black blues artists, they invented rock and roll, they made it awesome, and then stolen by the white guy. I mean, have you heard Elvis's version of Johnny Be Good? The live one's hysterical because he doesn't know half the lyrics.
Really?
He's like, we're down in Louisiana, down in New Orleans. That's pretty much what it sounds like. You gotta love Elvis for that. And of course, Tiger Army.
Yeah, we followed that up with Tiger Army. That was Forever Fades Away.
You know what I love about Tiger Army? They are what I like about, like, rock bands and stuff. And that, I kind of look up to these guys in the way that they don't stick with the rockabilly paradigm. It, you know, back in the 50s, yes, it was the thing to do to only ever play G, C, D as your chord progression, and then all variations of such. But, you know, Tiger Army was able to, or has been able, through the years, have proven themselves to be diverse. You know, yeah, they'll play some, like, really standard rockabilly, and then they go punkier, and then they go pop-punk, and then they go more rockabilly. You know, this song sounds more like AFI, which you could criticize them for, but you've seen where they come from on the album and stuff. It doesn't sound like an AFI album. It's just, like, kind of like the some of the tracks kind of stand out that way, and then sometimes it sounds more rockabilly, and having that diversity, it's a lot more fun. You know, you don't want to just hear the same bloody song over and over again, you know, and you know, just forget it, you know, like get have some fun with your music. And I think Tiger Army's doing that.
Definitely. And it's interesting that you brought up AFI, because Tiger Army and AFI are actually very connected from AFI's early days, which is kind of neat. They were all tight and stuff. Are they still tight?
I don't know. I didn't even know that they were friends. Or I guess just, you just mean personally that they're connected, like
yeah,
from the same city or something?
Nick 13 and Davey Havoc were like best buddies. Nick 13 guests on a lot of AFI's albums.
Oh, it's hilarious how that happens.
SoCal punk, baby.
Yeah, exactly. You know, from in Toronto, there's so many different bands, and we're all starting to get to know each other. You know, Wood Butcher, since we've been around, yeah, we started playing shows in January, and now we're making friends with other bands. I've also been emceeing, so I get to go and hang out with a lot of the bands just, you know, on my own too, which is fun. Yeah, like a 79 show, Joob. Man, those guys are awesome. Joob is in, spelled J-O-O-B. Check those guys out. That guy is a crazy guitar player. He does Eric Clapton stuff and Hendrix stuff, you know, just like, as if you, you know, as if it was nothing. As if it was the easiest thing in the world. That guy, his ability to play guitar, and of course, their bass player's mustache is amazingly hilarious. So, yeah, you know, check them out. They're pretty cool. They're on my Facebook already. So if you're on my Facebook, it'll be pretty easy to find Joob. Yeah.
And if you're not on Wood Butcher's Facebook, you should get on that. That's,
yeah.
Yeah,
if you're not looking up Wood Butcher on your Facebook or on your YouTube, just go eat a box of nails, because, you know, that's the only other option you really have at this point.
Well, that's a little harsh there, Jaws, a little harsh.
I'm just saying how it is, you know. I think you all, you know, need to get on the Wood Butcher train. What can I say? Wood Butcher's been having a good time the last 6 months. We've been doing pretty well, getting good reviews. Buddy Black, as she said, we sound kind of like the Cramps. If anyone out there is familiar with the Cramps, you're going to want to check out Wood Butcher for sure. Now, once again, with the whole diversity thing, we don't sound exactly like the Cramps. But to say that I am, I guess what I'm really trying to say is I love Lux Interior, and I really do, you know, draw from him for inspiration. Actually, Lux Interior, Iggy Pop, and David Bowie and all that, those are like some of the top guys that I really like look up to for front manage. Glenn Danzig of the Misfits, and Graves, the new guy, all so tight, good stuff.
All right, so on that note, we'll hit you up with a Misfits tune, and then I think we might be good for another acoustic live track, Jazz. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, I might even play a little... No. I was going to say, I actually do a cute acoustic version of Dig Up Her Bones, but let's save Dig Up Her Bones for the professionals. But I did... Speaking of Goodbye Jack and the band that I was in when we originally wrote the song Jack's Dead, we covered Dig Up Her Bones at the Knights of Columbus in Sudbury. Yeah, it was hilarious. It was a little rough around the edges, as you'd expect from a bunch of, you know, teenage punks from Sudbury. But, man, I love the song. And after you hear it, you'll know why.
All right, so this is the Misfits, Dig Up Her Bones. The Misfits, Dig Up Her Bones. And then I will hit you live with one more Wood Butcher track before we call it a night, guys. Enjoy. Well, I guess tonight is the night for
difficulties. That's not a curse, right? Because that's actually a body part.
No, it's not a curse. I think we can get away with it. But we're just having a little bit of an issue getting the Misfits going on. But I think we can pull it back up.
Oh, I see why. Attack of the Killer Ads, they're back.
Oh, my God.
Can we talk about this brand? Why not? Fanta. Hilarious. I've actually been a fan of Fanta. You know what? I'm going to get a little hipster here. I was drinking Fanta before, like, anybody else even knew what Fanta was. No, seriously, I went to Latvia when I was, like, a young teenager. And, you know, like, Fanta's a European drink. It's not from here, you know. So, for me, the tangerine Fanta is actually the regular Fanta over there. That's what it is. All the other flavors are the special edition ones. But tangerine-flavored Fanta is the norm.
And I'm quite a fan of tangerine Fanta myself.
And when it came over here, I was like, what the heck is this? It's a European drink. And everyone's like, oh, it's the new sensation. And I was like, no, it's a European sensation. It's old, like a decade old.
Well, speaking of hipster comments, while we're just waiting for this to load up, how many hipsters does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Oh, it's like a totally obscure number. You probably never heard of it before.
On that note, here is the Misfits for real this time. Dig Up Her Bones.
Anything is what you need.
And we're back. You're listening to your weekly music therapy session, live and unscripted, from Centennial College's Creative Communications Campus. I'm Renice McLeod. Here with me in the studio tonight is Jaws of Wood Butcher.
Who's going to stop throwing gang signs at the microphone?
Yeah, that's a little, whatever floats your boat, man. But we've pretty much hit the end of our time. Believe it or not, I know, time flies. I think we might need to have you back, though, when things get rolling for Wood Butcher. What do you think?
Yeah, let's get that bugger Steve in here. And, hey, you know what? If you, if the listeners know that, if you're the next bass player for Wood Butcher, then maybe we can get your scrawny button here.
That's true. So hit them up on MySpace, Wood Butcher Music, and hit us up, too, on Facebook. This is Music Therapy, parentheses, radio show. Or you can look me up, Renice McLeod. I think I'm the only Renice McLeod on Facebook. But that's it for the night. So Jaws is going to play us out here. This is The Price You Have to Pay.
I'm on a quest to see the devil's face. I will go at my own pace. When I'm done, I'll be gone without a trace. Yeah, that's the price you'll have to pay. That's the price you'll have to pay. That's the price you'll have to pay. I have to pay, yeah. That's the price you'll have to pay. That's the price you'll have to pay. I have to pay. Can you put a price on anything down? A penny or a nickel for a simple frown? But you can't return the pain from winning out, yeah. That's the price you'll have to pay. That's the price you'll have to pay. That's the price you'll have to pay, I have to pay, yeah. That's the price you'll have to pay. That's the price you'll have to pay. You wrong over Rikos and be so particular. The hardcore consumer feels fucking spectacular. Money talks, that's not my vernacular. That's the price you'll have to pay. That's the price you'll have to pay. That's the price you'll have to pay, I have to pay, yeah. That's the price you'll have to pay. That's the price you'll have to pay, have to pay, yeah. Nothing in life is free. Money can't buy your happiness. So where does that leave us? At the end of the day, yeah. Can you spare some change? How much is your love? Love is momentary. Love is monetary. That's the price you'll have to pay. That's the price you'll have to pay. Have to pay. That's the price you'll have to pay. That's the price you'll have to pay. Have to pay. Yeah. 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 Oh.